Faith is the victory. That's why we're here today, isn't it? You have faith. I know you do. And that faith, when you think back and think on the things of your life, how that faith has given you victory over sin, over the things of this world. Faith is our victory. What a wonderful thing that we can think of those words and be able to expound upon them and just remember how wonderful God has been to all of us. And I want you to think back a little bit on some things maybe that you yourself can identify with in your own life. Maybe faith helped you to loose the anger that was within you. Maybe faith helped you to step forward and to do something that you never thought you could do. Maybe the only victory in your life that you can think of at this moment is when you rose up out of a pew or a chair somewhere and came up and gave yourself over to Jesus. Whatever the victory is, we need to continually remember about the victory that would guide and direct us and lift us up. And to think about all the victories in the Bible that help us to remember just how amazing and how awesome our God is before us. Certainly, faith is the victory. There were many, as the song says, that tread the road before us. And we want to think about some of them this day. What kind of faith leads to saving of a soul? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39. And I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 39 is the last verse of Hebrews chapter 10. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Do you believe to the saving of the soul? I hope you do. And if you have not yet done so this day, today is the day to have victory. We're not a people who turn back. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 through 7, we read about faith that pleases God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the Scripture says. The evidence of things not seen, and it is that which the elders obtained a good testimony. That faith is something that we look at and understand the great power of our God, who with nothing at all framed and formed everything that we know to be physical. Every plant, every part of the ground, every river, every tree, every mountain range, the rain that falls from the sky, the clouds that are in the sky, and that wonderful rainbow that reminds us of God's justice and love. Faith that God took nothing, which really confuses the scientific mind. It is without faith, and he took nothing. And he opened his glorious hands, and something was there. You were created in the beginning by that which God created from nothing. There was no dust of the earth. There was no rib. God had created all things because of his power and with intention of his great love. Verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he will rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. Listen to me. We know what it means to seek God. We would never have come to the knowledge of the truth. We never would have been baptized. We never would have been part of the family of God and heirs of the kingdom that is in heaven if we didn't have faith. But he says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We need to be a people who look at our lives and understand in retrospect that we are nothing without God. And we need to put every effort we can possible forward to seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, so that all those blessings from God will be added to our lives in faith. We look back, is the victory that overcomes the world. It is faith that pleases God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 12, the Hebrew writer speaks of the kind of faith, the faith that embraces the promises of God. And that's something we share. There are many great and precious promises that each one of us needs to know. And we depend on those promises. Those promises are those things which we can look back to and that we can look forward to. We can look back that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we look forward to the day in which that Lord will return and take us home. What a great and precious promise. And each one of you here tonight who are in the Lord can be sustained, that we can be renewed and we can be upheld, and we need to embrace that promise because we have hope by those promises. It's faith that made Abraham obey God to live as a foreigner in a strange land. It's faith that caused him to wait for a city whose foundations and builder and the maker is God. We have no PowerPoint. That's because it's a black screen. We trust God because of that faith. Abraham trusted God. Abraham had the faith for that he would have a son named Isaac. And he even had the faith by God to offer Isaac his son upon an altar. That kind of faith can drive us to victory. Obeying God when He calls, when it means that we sojourn into a strange, strange land. When we get up and just leave everything behind and take even some things that are precious to us like Abraham did. If you remember, it said that he dwelled in tents. And it was brought out this morning in our lesson. Abraham was a rich man. I'm sure he had great possessions. But God said, go. And Abraham's faith led him to go. Receiving strength from God by faith, he will have a son and Sarah shall bear a child. From generation to generation declaring God. That's what faith does. He declared God to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Saving faith is faith that overcomes the world. Concerning which faith, as our scripture was read so well this morning, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Your faith. And the question is, who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Your faith is the victory. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's apparent by your presence here. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's apparent because you pray, because you offer to God, because you partake in communion, because you assemble, and because you study the Word of God. Your faith is apparent. That faith is your victory, that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What a great confession you made. And if you haven't made that confession, the day's not over. or the day's not over. We have many examples in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to go through some of those in the last chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. We're reminded about some Old Testament men and women of faith that were able to overcome the world. And we want to look at some of those, how much faith they had that was able to overcome. And we want to begin by noticing something that in faith in the generation of the Exodus. Think about the Exodus and all the faith that surrounded that Exodus. In Exodus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, also mentioned in Acts chapter 7, I mentioned this morning, a young child was born. That child was Moses. And that child, the scripture says, was a beautiful child. The Hebrew word for beautiful means that he was good and proper, and it means that he was not ordinary. And it says that they were not afraid of Pharaoh's command. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us what Pharaoh's command was, doesn't it? That every child who is born of a Hebrew shall be cast into the river. Every male child that's born shall be cast into the river. And it was their faith that gave courage for them to stand up against the king. How many people are we seeing in the news, even this day, who are standing up for their faith? Standing up against the persecution that comes from authorities and from other religious bodies. People who stand up for their faith and are not afraid to speak out to the world about Jesus. That's the kind of faith that overcomes the world. And when we think about Moses, that little baby, 3 months old, put into that basket and put onto the Nile River in faith. When you think about that little baby, when you get a chance today, look at that beautiful baby in the back. Think about that little baby. And remember that that was just a tiny beginning. That little tiny bit of faith changed the whole world. We never know what little thing we're going to do that could cause the world to change. The faith of the parents of Moses, as expounded upon in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, when he was born, they hid him. The faith of Moses himself, Hebrews chapter 11, 24 through 28. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I want you to think about that. By faith, when Moses was of age, he was around 40 years old now. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I want you to know that means that from a 3-month-old to 40, he was raised in the house with Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised under Pharaoh. You think that Moses had nothing to give up? You think about all the riches of Egypt. And he must have loved the Pharaoh's daughter. But he was willing to give all that up. He chose to suffer the affliction of God's people rather than to enjoy the temporary pleasures of this world. His faith led him to victory. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ more valuable than all the treasures of Egypt. He forsook Egypt. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. Because in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, he feared God. He feared God more than man. By faith, Moses overcame the world of the Egyptian bondage. By faith, the Nathan of Israel passed through the Red Sea. In verse 29, it tells us all that that's what their faith brought them to. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. And I want you to put this in perspective, because they passed through two gigantic walls of water. They walked through on dry land. And they did that by faith, even though the Egyptians followed them without faith, and we know that the waters crashed down upon them. Imagine something with me. I want you to think about this. Two great walls of water on either side, ready to come crashing down upon you at any moment. You have real faith. We're not talking about 20 feet. We're talking about a few miles. And their faith allowed them to walk through there. And I want you to put that in perspective today. You have children? Do you send the children off to school in a bus? Would you stand on the side and watch a bus go through that water like that with your precious children upon it? Would you drive a car with all the other cars on the freeway going through that water? That would take courage. That would take faith. Faith that way overcomes the world. Another point that's given about faith is the faith of the nation of Israel. Nation of Israel, they came out of Egypt, a nation filled of slaves. People who were accustomed to bondage. And yet they became a victorious people because they trusted God and God led them through. You think about Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. We read about that in Joshua chapter 6. You know, when you think about what took place there, they walked around that city for 7 days blowing their trumpets. And on that last day, they shouted at the command of Joshua. And the walls, they didn't just crumble, they went flat. Faith was the victory there. By faith, Israel overcame the world in the Egypt and Palestine area. That was their faith. And we go back and we look at that and we realize it's the same faith that we have. There was great faith. There was little faith. And yet there was faith. And we think of Rahab the harlot. She received two spies that were sent out by Joshua in Joshua chapter 2. And we read about that verses 1 through 24. These two spies, they come into the land and they get into this city and everybody's looking for them. And a Gentile woman. You see, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, if you're Korean or North Korean or Asian or Japanese or Chinese. It doesn't matter because faith, God is no respecter of person. And your faith can be like hers. She took those two spies and she put them up on a roof and she hid them with stalks of flax. And as a result, later on, when Israel came in and overtook that city, her faith went before her. By the power of God's hand, she didn't perish with all the unbelievers. Just imagine driving your car through that wall of water. And all the unbelievers around you, trusting that God's going to protect you. That's faith that overcomes the world. It was through faith that Israel received the promised land of God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as that promise was passed down. It is the process of faith that overcame all the obstacles. We don't want to be a people, like we talked about this morning, who say, I'm going to trust God to deal with this until next Saturday, and if He doesn't, I'm going to do it myself. That's not faith. Faith. Even a Gentile like Rahab, because of her faith, was the recipient of the promise that was given by faith. And as we continue here, we see another example, faith in the land of promise. when they got into that land of promise, there was a list of, if you will, just simple heroes. Just a list of heroes. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32, and what more shall we say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained the promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. We think about that. This summary of faith. They subdued kingdoms. Joshua, in conquering the areas of Palestine, Joshua chapter 12. How about David conquering the neighboring nations around him in 2 Samuel? And then we think of, not only did they subdue kingdoms, but they worked righteousness. Samuel as a judge, David as king, Solomon as king, working righteousness that comes from God. They obtained promises such as the nation of Israel receiving the land itself that culminated and came to a conclusion in Joshua chapter 21. Don't ever let anybody tell you Jesus is going to come back and the Jews are going to finally get their land. They received the promises of God. And we think about stopping the mouths of lions. Their faith led them to do such things that we would never do. Stopping the mouths of lions. What about Samson? Remember Samson? Samson, when in Judges chapter 14, the Scripture tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily and that he tore the lion apart as though it were just a young goat. Faith was his victory. You don't run up to a lion without faith. Or a bear. Think about David. David, when he was protecting his sheep, when a lion or a bear came to take one of the lamb, he went out after it and he delivered the lamb from that lion or that bear. And if that lion or bear would attack him, he says, I struck him, I grabbed him by the beard and I struck him and I killed him. David, stop the mouths of lions. And of course we don't want to forget Daniel. You know, the real difference here, there is no difference, because Daniel, even though he didn't fight the lions like Samuel and David, he was cast into a den of lions, and God, because of his faith, shut the lion's jaws. Don't ever think that your faith, because you go day by day wondering if God's hearing my prayers, He hears your prayers and He knows your anxieties. He knows your desires. And He is with you. Even this very moment, He is with us. And He can shut the mouths of lions. He can shut the mouths of officials. He can protect you and let you overcome the world by your faith. Quench the violence of fire. Who do we think of? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. The fiery furnace. How about escaping the edge of the sword? David fleeing King Saul. Elijah fleeing Jezebel. Elisha, who the king of Israel wanted to murder. They all escaped the sword. And the Scripture goes on to say, out of weakness, we're made strong. Remember the Apostle Paul. When I am weak, I am strong. Because he had faith. When you're weak, don't feel weak. Turn to the Lord. When you have anxieties and troubles in your life, don't feel overcome. Turn to the Lord. The God of heaven, the God of creation, is on your side. Therefore, who can be against us? You have God on your side. As God's children, we need to remember that. We need to act upon that. We need to live that and allow our faith to be a faith that overcomes the world. A few months ago, we had a visitor here who was going to Cleveland Clinic, and she was diagnosed with a cancer that they believed would take her life. And you know what she said? Do you remember what she said? She was joyous because this cancer allowed her to meet doctors and nurses and to share Jesus. Don't let things get between you and a faith that overcomes the world. And out of weakness, they were made strong, and they became valiant in battle. Think of David again. David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And David, just this little ruddy boy, and Goliath, this giant, not 6 inch, but very tall, 6 foot. Some of you know that joke. And David, he ran at Goliath. Ran up to him. The victory belongs to God. He didn't fear Goliath. His faith became valiant in battle. Jehoshaphat, defeating those in Edom in 2 Chronicles. Hezekiah, his faith led him to slaughter 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Faith becomes valiant in battle. In other words, don't be afraid of the fight. Because that's when your faith really proves out. Don't be afraid of the fight. We live in a cynical world. We live in a world where we look around and we see all the agendas of people, the humanistic kind of things, and faith is the victory over all of that. Just remember your faith. Cast all your cares upon Him. Remember your faith. Remember that your faith in Jesus is the victory because Jesus has already been the victor. When Jesus died on that cross and arose from the grave, He is your victor over sin and death. And anyone who believes in Him will never die. Sure, life can be hard. And I know that there's no one in this room that hasn't faced some hardships at some time. But trust in God. Because faith is your victory, and you can become valiant facing that fight. Whether that fight is cancer, whether that fight is an income problem, whether that fight is between you and your spouse, whether that fight is between you and your boss, it doesn't matter. Because if you do things the way that the Lord asks, if you have the faith of Abraham, that obedient faith, when Abraham was told to get up and go, he just went. And when God tells you to get up and go, don't complain. Just go. And your faith will overcome the world. Also, the Hebrew writer says that furthermore, women received their dead again. And you look back in the Old Testament and you think of Zarephath, when Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 7, back from the dead. The Shunammite woman, and her son, back from the dead. Others were tortured, not receiving deliverance, but they were going forward to obtain a better promise, a better resurrection. Why do you go forward when you think the world's all against you? Why do you go forward when you think that tomorrow is a drudgery? Why do you go forward? Because faith is your victory. Because there's something on the other side of the troubles. There's something on the other side of life's turmoils. There's something on the other side of anxiety. When we have faith, God is there. And we just move forward until we see the glory of God again in faith. Don't ever let the hardships of life hold you back. These people were tortured, not receiving deliverance. They were looking to obtain a better resurrection. And that would have been totally understood by the Hebrew nation, right? And it's totally understood by the early Christians, right? It needs to be totally understood by you, right? They also obtained, others had trials of mocking, scourging, chains, and an imprisonment. Micaiah the prophet, Jeremiah the prophet. You think of all the prophets, all the early saints. Some were stoned. Zechariah. Some were sawn in two. Tradition tells us that Isaiah was cut in two. May very well be referring to Isaiah. And also, they were tempted. Think of Daniel as a youth in Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 21. And Daniel was tempted by the king's foods and the wine and so on, but he chose to follow God. He was tempted not to pray to anyone but the king, but he chose to follow God. His faith went before him. And the lion's mouths were stopped. Some wandered about in sheepskins or goatskins, like Elisha or Elijah, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, Elisha. You see, we're not alone in the victory. And we just need to look back and remember, we stand on that solid rock, which is Jesus. And the rains descend, and the floods, they come, and the winds, they blow, and nothing moves. Because we're steadfast and sure, we stand upon the rock of Christ, our faith. Finally, what these people received by their faith, you know what? It was not the praise of the world. If we're looking for the praise of men, our faith is amiss. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 38, to whom this world was not worthy. Not worthy. They wandered in deserts, being chased and persecuted, lived in dens and caves like Elijah, running from Ahab and Jezebel. The world's not worthy. They did obtain a good testimony. They obtained a good testimony. They did not receive or obtain the promise during their lifetime. We may never be awake in the body when the Lord returns. Of course, we will see the Lord when He comes, right? Because everyone ever have lived upon the earth will be raised up out of the graves, and all of us together will see the Lord. Some to the saving of the soul, and some to perdition. But they didn't obtain the promise during their lifetimes, but they still lived by faith. They received some of the promises, like the land promise, the great nation promise, but they never received the promise. You and I, who are of faith, receive the promise. We receive Jesus into our hearts, the promise. They never got to see the Christ. They never got to experience the perfection in Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 and also in chapter 10 tell us that the law couldn't make them perfect. But Christ can. What they did not receive during their lifetime, they did with the coming of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15 tells us that for this reason, the mediator of a new covenant, that's Jesus, He's the mediator of the new covenant. And when he came by the means of death for the redemption and transgressions under the first covenant, who are called that we may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Now, those who were faithful will receive and see that perfect justice. A I want you to turn with me and look at Hebrews chapter 10. Just go back to chapter 10. I want to read verse 14 to begin with. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Hebrews chapter 11 again in verse 40, the last verse. God having provided some better thing for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And go over to Hebrews chapter 12 verses 22. And following, but you have come to Mount Zion and to a city of the living God, a heavenly Jerusalem, to an immutable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. See, your faith is the same as faith that they had in God. And your name is registered in heaven to God, the judge of all the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Better things than that of Abel. Didn't Abel have faith? Didn't Abel offer to God in faith, and God was pleased with Abel's offering? Better things than Abel. You have a lot of reasons to be thankful this day. A lot of reasons. Faith is your victory. It overcomes the world. Through faith, they truly overcame the world. Sometimes their victory was miraculous. And other times it was not. Today we don't need to see miracles, do we? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. And their ultimate victory was that they died in faith. They died in faith. We need to have faith until death, as the Revelation writer John tells us. And like you who enjoy the fruit of faith and the promise yet to come, bliss in the presence of the Lamb will be theirs. All those who have faith. And like them, through faith, we too can also overcome the world. Faith in Jesus, the Son of God, will give us victory. Victory over the world's temptations, the trials and the troubles. Victory over the world's persecutions, hardships, the victories that we win. They may not be impressive as Abraham leaving his country and all that he had behind. It may not be as impressive as the walls of Jericho falling down. It might not be so valiant as chasing after a giant in victory. But your faith is victory. Even the little faith. Because what's truly, truly exciting about your faith is that when you have that faith until death, you will receive the same reward as all those who went before you. And that reward is the crown of righteousness. I hope that this great chapter of heroes might serve to motivate all of us. We all need to be motivated in faith. A faith that pleases God. A faith that embraces the promises of God. And of course, a faith that overcomes the world. You know, we may not win the praise of the world. We're not even looking for it. But we will receive the praise of God one day when we stand before Him in faith. If you've not been baptized into Christ, allow your faith to move your feet this day. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've moved apart from the faith in any way, come back and allow the church to pray with you, for you. Whatever your need might be, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sit.